Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Open Mic Session. Today's topic is WebSphere Commerce Build and Deployment Process for WebSphere Commerce Version 7. My name is Joseph Lam, and this session will give you the opportunity to speak to our panel of experts on a variety of subjects related to today's topic. Moving on to slide number 2. In today's Open Mic session, we will start off by introducing to you our panel of experts for the day. We will then move on to give you a brief introduction to WebSphere Commerce Build and Deployment Process for WebSphere Commerce Version 7. Next, our panel of experts will answer questions that were pre-submitted to us through email. Then, we will open the lines for a live Q&A period. Finally, the session will end with a summary of the Open Mic session. Moving on to slide number 3. At this time, I would like to introduce to you our panel of experts for today's call. Our panel consists of Anthony Watts, software engineer.
Hi, everyone. My name is Anthony Watts from IBM Canada. I'm a software developer for WebSphere Commerce, specializing in the build and deployment tool and the development environment. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Anthony. Next, we have Corby Daughtry, software engineer.
Hey, everyone. This is Corby. I'm with the Level 2 Commerce Support Team. Hopefully, we can answer your questions today. Thanks.
Thank you, Corby. Then we have Eric Wyczynski, software engineer.
Thank you, Joseph. My name is Eric Wyczynski. I'm part of the Level 2 team for WebSphere Commerce out of Austin, Texas.
Thank you, Eric. Next, we have Mel Bakshi, software engineer.
Hello, everyone. This is Mel Bakshi. I work in IBM Software Group's WebSphere Commerce Support Team in located in Toronto. Thanks, Joseph.
Thank you, Mel. And finally, we have Salman Huang, software engineer.
Thank you, Joseph. Good morning, everyone. My name is Salman Huang, and I'm with the WebSphere Commerce Support Team at the Toronto Lab. Thanks.
Thank you, Salman. Now, before we get to the question and answer period, our panel would like to give you a technical overview of the topic. Moving on to slide number 4, and please go ahead, Mel.
Thanks, Joseph, and thanks for everyone attending to today's session. What we want to do today to go high-level view of WebSphere Commerce Build and Deployment Tool, which is introduced in version 7, we would want to provide you some information about the environment setup and its configuration, and also some common issues that we see using this tool. From now on, we would refer to this as WCBD for WebSphere Commerce Build and Deployment Tool. If you can move on to the next page, Joseph, thanks. So the WebSphere Commerce Build and Deployment Tool, which was introduced in version 7, it's basically giving us what we want to achieve for our environment where we want to implement code deployment and code build processes. It gives us opportunity to implement processes that are repeatable processes, and it helps us to preserve productivity. It also helps us to automate the build and deployment process in a very controlled manner, and it allows us to have this build and deployment tool in a standardized setup. WebSphere Commerce Build and Deployment Tool is also based on some best practices for deployment, which also goes back to the Apache ANT standards. And based on that information, we know that it's customizable, and we can use the ANT scripts to customize to suit for a specific environment that we have. One of the features that WebSphere Commerce Build and Deployment Tool provides is that a lot of time for customized code deployment and build processes, we need to go through many steps, and sometimes these steps could have some impact on the production environment. So that Web 2 Commerce Build-in Deployment Tool provides those processes in an automated environment, so then we can implement them for our use. If you can move on to the next page. So I'll now ask Joseph to start the questions.
Thank you, Mel. We will now begin our question and answer session with questions that were pre-submitted to us before the webcast. I'll now hand the presentation over to our panel's experts to handle question number one on slide number six.
Hi. Question one is a pre-submitted question, and it's on how one would integrate the storefront development and test assets from Western Commerce version 7, feature pack 1, with the WCBD build and deployment processes. For those of you who are not familiar with the storefront test assets, in the slides there is a link where you can go to and have an overview on what it is, and you can as well download the test assets. If we can move to the next page, please. Right. So in terms of integrating the storefront test assets, I would also like to generalize it further to any unit test in general. So unit test integration will require customization to WCBD. Due to time constraints, I will not give the exact details, but rather I will give the general customization approach. So the first step is to check in the storefront unit test projects or just the general unit test projects into the repository so WCBD can pick them up in the build process and run them during deployment after they are built. Step two involves customizing the WCBD build process to build the unit test and include it into the deployment packages. For those of you who have taken a look at the storefront test assets, you will notice that you will require the projects to be in the expanded format. So this is something to keep in mind. To build the unit test binaries in an expanded format as opposed to an archive format like a jar file. Can move to the next page. And the next step would be to, once the build process is customized and your test assets are included into deployment packages, you will also need to customize the WCBD deployment processes to run unit tests. So this can be done by either introducing a build.xml, which is an end script in the project, and basically just calling that script, or you can leverage the entjunittest to directly call the test cases after the deployment is completed. So you can add it as a last step to the out-of-the-box, for example, the server deployment process. So this is the general approach in integrating unit tests. And, of course, we would want to look into some software development best practices. So these are the value-add steps. For example, you might want to have a dedicated test server and perhaps do a centralized deployment. What that means is that you would want to tie in the build process with the deployment process along with unit test execution, so you have a standalone server that does the test. And to take that one step further, you might want to look into continuous integration. So, for example, you might want to integrate a third-party tool such as Hudson Cruise Control. We do have a question on that later on in the session. So you can use one of those tools to continuously listen to changes in your repository, and then you run that dedicated build and deployment and unit test process to achieve continuous integration. If we can go to the next page, please.
Hi, this is Corby. Corby Dodger. I'll be answering the next question submitted from our audience here. So how do I troubleshoot issues related to WS Admin in the WCBD server deployment process? Obviously, this is a very specific question, but considering it is narrow in scope, I wanted to maybe generalize it a little bit to also include other troubleshooting WCBD techniques or, I guess, pointers as a whole rather than just WS Admin specifically. Because WS Admin is just a single process of the and included a wide range of processes that we require to run WCBD, we should consider other aspects also when debugging the WCBD run. So for purpose of this open mic and this discussion, let's concentrate on troubleshooting WCVD. And with these three topics, I think we can cover most of it. One, running WCVD in debug mode. Two, enabling WSAdmin tracing, which is the specific question. And then three, running tests individually to help troubleshoot. So first of all, I guess running in WCVD debug mode, you're not going to find this in the out-of-box version 7, but beginning at Fix Pack 1, we've added features to allow for timestamps to be output into the standard output. This doesn't mean the logs that you would normally find for build or deployment, but the way it works, actually, is we're taking advantage of the underlying ANT verbose mode. So whenever you specify a D or a V parameter, debug or verbose parameter, it's actually just passing that parameter on to ANT. And so whenever we certain tasks in the build or deployment, we're outputting that timestamp and that task name so that you'll see the flow of the build and deployment and hopefully troubleshoot any issues you're having there. So it is important to make sure that if you want to save off your output, that you output it or that you pipe the output to a log file, a separate log file. Otherwise, you'll just see it on your screen. So most of this is discussed in the Info Center, but you may find that not necessarily the verbose part, but the debug part, which you'll find in Info Center. And I do plan on actually updating the Information Center just a little bit for some things that are lacking there. Secondly, enabling the WSAdmin tracing, which is the question that was actually asked. This is a very easy task. You're basically just commenting out the WSAdmin trace stream in the WSAdmin.properties. Very simple procedure, and as soon as you do that, your output view will be sent to WSAdmin.traceout. If you do a search in Google, you'll find tons of documentation on how to actually enable the tracing for WSAdmin. And then last, probably a pretty good pointer, is to run tasks individually. So as to narrow down the scope of the problem, but also the time required to run that task. And the way that you would do that, of course, is to look in your build XML or your deployment XML and find targets that you would want to run individually. Say, for instance, you want to just run the extract of your source code. You could find the name of the task, which in this case is just extract, and then pass it as an argument in your WCVD ANT call. So WCVD ANT.bat, the name of the file, the build file, the name of your build label, and then the name of the argument, which is your task itself, extract. Again, if you do that, be aware that any logs that you would normally find these tasks, you probably would not find, and you would want to pipe the output to a separate log file. And so that's all I have for now. You can go to the next slide. I believe this Eric's going to discuss something.
Thank you, Corby. This is Eric. What's your comment? Question number 3, how do I shorten the WCVD build and deployment time? And this is a very good question, as a full deployment does take time, and it's always nice and a little bit faster to do a partial build and deployment. So moving on to slide 12, we'll talk about how we can help shorten the build and deployment cycles. First and foremost, you want to make sure that you take advantage of the latest WebSphere Commerce Fix Pack, since performance fixes and other enhancements for WCVD can be added into Fix Pack. As Corby pointed out, there's actually been debug patching included into Fix Pack 1, which may be of use as well. For the build process, you can reduce the extraction time from the source code and repository by using the same source directory for every build. And the way you can do that is by changing the source DIR variable in the build properties. Also, another way you can speed up the build process is by skipping the built-in packaging of the files that did not change. So you would only do a Delta deployment, for example. However, if you only copy over the files that have changed, you have to make sure that their dependencies are also included into that source extraction. Otherwise, the compilation will fail, the build process will fail, and you would not be able to complete the build and deployment process. But if you have the subset of files that you need for the changes and what is necessary to compile, that will form into a partial application file that can be deployed into the different environment versus a full application deployment. So moving on to slide number 13. Slide number 13 of the deployment processes. To improve the speed, as I mentioned before, it's similar to the build process, and you just limit the scope down to wire change and what is necessary for compiling those changes. Then you can do a Delta deployment, which is by comparing two deployment packages and then setting the deployment properties as appropriate. So you have to make sure that you have a very clear understanding of how your different assets are deployed. For example, a connector and a web module, they both must be deployed as a single unit, even though only one module, one file within that module has changed. Slide 14, please. I'm going to turn you over to Mel.
Thanks, Eric. Question number 4. How do I provide additional JVM settings to the WCV build and deployment processes? It's been a question that has been from several people, and I think these are the properties that every build and deployment process includes. You can move on to slide number 15. So additional JVM settings, in this case, I've shown an example of enabling a verbose GC. It can be specified as part of an option as a property called ant_opts environment variable. This is in the file called setenv script. Now, the setenv.bat file, this is Windows example, but it basically provides you an option to set specific JVM properties. As you can see, you can also have the directory for, let's say, WAS home or an install root for that. Now, in this case, I've shown an example where you could say when you run this particular JVM with a 1024 meg maximum heap size, also give me the verbose GC information. The other settings that also can be set is a heap size that, for example, in deployment process. You can set that in EJB deploy and also that WS admin. The way it's set, there's a file that's called deploy-target.env.properties, and that's the file that it can be used to set these variables specifically for the heap size for deployment in that part. I've mentioned if you want to get more detail about these property files, you can refer to the build and deployment property file in InfoCenter. If you can move on to next slide. So here is kind of summary of the set environment file that it can exist in either the build or server deployment folder, depending on which process you want to have additional JVM properties set. So basically, you would update the respective set environment, set ENV file script for that. The other file, properties file, is the main deployment properties file, which you have after you set up your deployment processes. Now, both of these files are considered WebSphere Commerce build and deployment properties file, and the two examples that I mentioned are used to set for JVM properties. As I mentioned, if you refer to InfoCenter, there are details about these files. So I think next slide, Salman will go over question number 5.
Thank you, Mel. Hello, everyone. This is Salman. I'll be handling question 5 on slide 18. I believe you had a couple of questions regarding integration of WCBD with third-party build management tools. So the question is, how do I integrate the WCBD tool with a third-party build management software such as IBM Rational Build Forge, Cruise Control, and Hudson? Joseph, please turn to slide 19. So the bottom line here is that the WebSphere Commerce Build and Deploy tool can be invoked by using just one command, the WCBD-ANT, and you can use any build management tool to invoke this command. Here are some integration tips with respect to this question. You should extract the source with the build management tool instead of using WCBD, and check in WCBD into the SCM repository. Joseph, please turn to slide 20. We should also make use of the features that the build management tools provide. For example, you can configure the build management tool to send email notifications for successful and failed builds. This way, you don't have to manually check whether a build passed or failed. Project chaining and parallelization, which allows for deployment on multiple servers. And continuous integration. You can check if there are any changes in the repository, and if so, you can engage the build and deploy process. This is the end of the pre-submitted questions. Now I'll pass this presentation over to Joseph. Thank you.
Thank you to our panel of experts for answering the pre-submitted questions. At this point in time, Kathleen, we would like to open the lines for a live question and answer period.
The first question is coming from Mike. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. I'm looking for recommendations, I guess, for deploying, like, say, custom jar files in the, you know, the WCE or live directory without actually having to specify them in the build properties file.
Hi, this is Anthony. So one question for you. So when you mention custom jar files, do you mean, like, just any Java utility modules, or are you referring to things like EJV?
Like jar file modules. So like an example was the last project I was on, we did solar. So there needed to have some solar jars that were out there, those type of things that would reside in the WCEAR live directory, or even any XML changes, you know, that would be anything really underneath the WCEAR XML live, any of those directories.
Right. So this goes back to how you would restructure your repository. So for files that reside in, for static files, like Java utility jars and XML files and such, that goes into the commerce application root, you should check those files into the workspace WC directory, and WCBD will in turn pick up those files, include them into a deployment package, and eventually deploy them using the partial application update facility that's available in WebSphere application server.
Okay, so you're, I guess, if I'm understanding that correctly, then you're saying to really not use the build and deploy for those types?
No, that's not correct. What I meant was that you can still use the WCBD to deploy these files, and all you have to do is to drop those into the right place, and in which case it is the workspace WC directory. So as long as you have that in your repository, the build and deployment processes out of the box will just pick up those ones and deploy it for you.
Yeah, I wish I had an example, because I ran into a problem to where the build or the deploy was actually failing with, so if I didn't specify anything and I left the EAR project blank to pick up everything, it was kind of failing when it was trying to do some of the out-of-the-box RAR files and stuff like that that were out there.
Right. So this is actually a common problem with how the repository is structured, and we do have a troubleshooting guide as well as more detailed information on this topic. So what I can do is to post some links in the web chat, and you can take a look at those and perhaps leave your contacts at the end of the session, so if you have further questions, I can answer those.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. No problem.
The next question is coming from Andy. Your line is open.
Hello. I'm from Interface, and I have a question sort of related to that one, but about the repository structure. Seems like there's a very define the structure that WBCD uses, that you only check in the files that you've changed. We ran into a problem where we were migrating from version 6 to version 7, and our repository contains all of the files from WebSphere Commerce and other projects. And we kind of like it that way, just so that we can, you know, if we ever have any, if we ever delete a file mistakenly, you know, we can restore it pretty easily. And so we had to customize the build to deal with this, to deal with these EJBs that were in there. And specifically, we had build issues with these, with the default EJBs. So my question is, will the build process be a little bit more flexible to different repository structures?
Right. So as a follow-on, I will also answer this question. So currently, the build process has some properties or build settings that you can actually set up to exclude certain things from your repository. And in terms of tackling this problem, I think there are mainly three options. There could be more, but the three are the ones that we recommend customers should look into. And these are alternatives to restructuring your repository. So the first one would be to leverage some of the properties in the build settings. For example, we have something called year.includes and year.excludes. So these are properties inside where you can specify a certain pattern and you can exclude files from the deployment package. So that's one option. Another option would be to customize the source extraction and scripts that you have developed to actually clean up the repository so that it fits better with the WCBD, so to speak. So you can do some file deletion or file exclusion after you extract. The third option is probably a bit more difficult to implement, but it brings more values to your deployment process, which is to implement a delta deployment process. So again, I think one of the questions that we answered earlier suggests that you can do a comparison between two deployment packages and deploy only the delta. So assuming that you have this process implement, then you can obviously exclude these out-of-the-box jars that were in the repository because they never change. So these are some of the options that are available to you. Do you have any questions about the answer?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Okay.
The next question is coming from Mr. Petrar. Your line is open.
Hi. We are using WebSphere Commerce 6 with, and for build and deployment process, we are using Band and Build Forge. So we are planning to migrate from WebSphere Commerce 6 to 7 sometime next year. And we have few IBM consultants, and they were assessing the efforts involved in migrating the WebSphere Commerce 6 to Commerce 7. And as we are using the Band tool, they suggested one thing, that we can continue to use Band tool, because if you try to migrate to the WebSphere Commerce build and deployment process, it may take more time. So I just want to check whether we need to be aware of any challenges that we may come across if you continue to use Band tool to do our build and deployment for Commerce 7 code.
Thank you for that great question. Again, basically, with the Band tool, it's generally not supported by the WebSphere Commerce support team. However, the WCBD tool in version 7 is supported by the WebSphere Commerce product team. The Band tool is actually a asset that was developed by the IBM Software Services for WebSphere team and is supported via support asset. I actually had a lengthy discussion with them not too long ago about the same question that you just asked about. Unfortunately, there is not a migration path between Band D and going to WCBD, even though they share a lot of similarities in concepts. But the important thing to consider that WCBD is a lightweight version of Band D, to put it in a very general concept. So if you're moving from Band D, it will be necessary to evaluate all the assets that you're migrating over to WCBD and pretty much start off from scratch. And so to compare some of the differences that Band D has over WCBD, the Band D tool deploys the web server assets to the IBM HTTP server, while the WCBD tool does not yet do that. And Band D also has a lot more greater flexibility and offers more deployment checks and offers more deployment options. But again, it's not supported by the WebSphere Commerce product team, and you would definitely have to have another support contract to continue getting support for the Band D tool on version 7, and that would be secured with the ISSW team. But if you use WebSphere Commerce Building Deployment Tool, WCBD, that would be supported by the WebSphere Commerce product team, and we can help answer additional issues that you may have after you migrated over to WCBD.
Okay. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
We do have a question coming from Mike. Your line is open.
Yeah, I was wondering, does the WCBD tool handle the removal of files? So if I have a JSP or something that I need to delete?
In terms of removal of the files, are you referring to files from the Western Commerce application?
Yeah, so I don't know, just an example, if I had a JSP that was out there and I've removed it from my workspace and how does that get removed from, the ear file?
Right. For that one, you will need to actually use a feature in WebSphere Application Server that is part of the partial application update. So what you need to do is to create a special file. I think it's called IBM Partial App Delete.props, and you will place this file in the meta insert directory at the correct module scope. So either the year module, or if you're deleting a JSP from a web module, you would include the file in the meta in directory of the web module. And in that file, you would specify the list of files that you would want to delete. And while WCBD deployment process runs, as part of the partial application update that is done by that, it will pick up these files and knows what file to delete. So that's one way to automate that deletion in WCBD. I will provide a link in the web group chat for your information.
Okay. Do you see the Delta process handling that in the future?
I think that is a good question. I'm not sure if I have an answer for you at this point. Delta build and deployment is definitely something that we would want to look into, as sort of like a standard feature of build and deployment too. But because of the complexity involved and because of how, I guess, every environment is a bit different, that topic needs more intensive investigation just to make sure that, I guess, something generic can be delivered out of the box. So right now I don't have an answer for you. And there is currently no Delta support as part of the WCBD at this time per se.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, no problem.
The next question is coming from Brian. Your line is open.
Can WCBD, I guess this question was already answered, WCBD place partial delete props in both full and Delta deployments?
Okay, so when you mention full and Delta deployment, did you mean whether WCBD would be able to sort of like pick out what file has been deleted since the last deployment or since the last change, and as such, the deployment process would smartly delete those for you?
Yes. Perfectly, yeah. Right now, we have an automated deployment process that does, based off our SCN, tell what files have been deleted, and then I will automatically place a partial delete props in the correct directory. And then during the deployment, WAS automatically deletes the files in that directory. And so can we do that same build process with WCBD?
Not out of the box. However, of course, you can always customize WCBD to include that feature. So like I repeated earlier, currently we don't really have an answer to how we can support partial build and deployment, or rather, Delta build and deployment out of the box. So unfortunately, it will require some customization at this point.
So I haven't looked that far into WCBD, but are you saying that WCBD will not do a partial deployment like a zip file?
It can do that, but what I meant was that it will not smartly detect, you know, for example, between two deployments that a file is removed, therefore I would generate, you know, the partial app delete file, place it into the deployment, and basically run the deployment to delete your files. Currently, you will have to manually put in that file into your repository so that the build and deployment process will pick them up.
Okay, so WCBD will do a partial update to the application, so you don't have to install the full.
That is correct. And in fact, WCBD actually leverage a combination of module updates and partial application updates. So it's a bit more fine-grained as opposed to deploying a full year.
Is there a way to deploy partial deployments or single files using the build and deploy process so you could configure to do a partial deploy of only change files in the SVN, or does the WCBD restrict you to deploy full modules only?
Right. So again, out of the box, I mentioned that WCBD leverage a combination of module updates and partial application updates. However, it has limited support in terms of Delta deployment. What customers or rather users would have to do is to determine, for example, what files might have changed, so they only deploy the Delta. For example, for a module, let's say a connector module, EJB module, or a new web module, usually you have to deploy the entire module, but if you know that there are no files that have been changed, then you don't really have to set those properties in your deployment settings, and as a result, these things won't be redeployed. In terms of updating just the Delta, again, WCBD uses partial application updates. So depending on how you structure your repository or how you manage it, you might be, for example, if you have only, let's say, 50 JSPs as part of your customization, you should be able to deploy just those 50 JSPs as opposed to an entire store module, which can be huge. But, of course, that will depend on the user implementing some form of logic to tell what the Delta is and as well to restructure the repository a little bit so that it's quicker to use. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay, no problem.
The next question is coming from Andy. Your line is open.
Will it add a tag to the repository for the build that it will do?
This is Anthony again. So out of the box, it would not do that. However, you can customize the samples that we provide for the source extraction and scripts. And you should be able to also tie in the tagging part of it. So you can probably just tag it, extract, and maybe even use the build label as the tag so you have a streamlined process. So it will require some customization to the sample scripts.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
We have no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Kathleen. And thank you to everyone again for your participation in the Q&A period. At this point in time, I would like to move on to slide number 22 and pass the presentation over to Anthony for a summary of today's session.
Thanks, Joseph. So to summarize, in this Western Commerce Build and Deployment Tool webcast, we have answered some questions related to debugging, integration of unit tests, and integration to third-party build management tools. We hope that the discussion provide you with some insight as to how you can incorporate more software development best practices to your Western Commerce customization build and deployment processes so that you can improve productivity and software quality. We've also answered some questions related to how the repository is structured, Delta build and deployment and such, and those are good ideas that you can incorporate into your build and deployment processes as well. Of course, if you have any further questions, please feel free to post questions in the Developer Works Western Commerce Forum, which is monitored by some folks from IBM, or you can also provide your contact at the end of this webcast so that we can get back to you with your questions and such. Pass it back to you, Joseph.
Thank you, Anthony, for a great summary. At this point in time, we will conclude the Open Mic session.